All right, today we begin a new book of the Bible, and that's always fun. Continuing on, actually, right where we left off last time in 1 Samuel chapter 31, we begin 2 Samuel chapter 1 today. Let's pray. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And I certainly hope you have your Bible with you, that you can follow along. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says, "Now it came to pass, after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag." David came back from the slaughter. God does not sprinkle verbal perfume on the truth to make it more pleasant to our ears. He doesn't whitewash the ugly truth to make anyone feel better. The Amalekites were not just killed. The Amalekites did not expire. They were slaughtered. Just like a cow for meat. Why? Because they would not change their ways. And hopefully the slaughter of God's enemies in the past will cause people to repent today. Verse 2. It came to pass, on the third day, that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes and earth upon his head. And so it was, when he came to David, that he fell to the earth and showed respect or did obeisance. David has just squared away his family crisis, as we saw in 1 Samuel. He got his wives back. He got his children back from the Amalekites. But then this guy shows up all a mess with what has to be more bad news just from looking at him. You know, it's one thing after another for this man of God, David. If you've been with us through 1 Samuel, you'll know. And if you didn't study that, I would ask you to, or suggest anyway, that you go back and study 1 Samuel verse by verse with me before you go to 2 Samuel, because it really does lay the foundation. Verse 3. And David said to him, "From where come you?" And he said to him, "Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped." Well, this man was fortunate to escape from an overwhelming defeat of the Israelites and King Saul. Verse 4, and David said to him, "How went the matter? I pray you, tell me." And he answered, "That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also." For the second time in a few days, the bottom has fallen out of David's life. It would be nice if bad news would not affect us, wouldn't it? But if we care about things and we care about people, it will affect us. And the more you care, the more of an effect it has on you. What David has just heard is going to sting, because him and Jonathan, the son of Saul, were best friends. 5. And David said to the young man that told him, "How know you that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead?" David wants to know for sure if this bad news is true. Lesson: before we accept bad news, and start grieving, we should make sure it's true. There's enough things to get sad over without getting sad over something that hasn't been verified. 6. And the young man that told him said, "As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him." This man is dead wrong when he says, by chance, he was where Saul was dying. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing. God in his providence allows us to be in situations. And every situation we find ourselves in is an opportunity to praise God, whether it is good or bad. 7. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me, and I answered, "Here am I." And he said to me, "Who are you?" And I answered, "I am an Amalekite." And he said to me again, "Stand, I pray you, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me because my life is yet whole in me." Saul said, evidently, "Come and put me out of my misery." I don't know if you picked up on this, but there are an awful lot of me's and my's in verse 9. And they all belong to Saul. Suicide is a self thing. It's all about self. It really is. People say, "Oh, he hated himself. And that's why he did it. That's why he killed himself. Because he hated himself." No. If he really hated himself, he would have stayed in his misery. You know, some people who kill themselves, they don't care about God, what he has to say about it. They don't care about anyone else either. Suicide is the ultimate act of self. I should be feeling better than what I feel. I should not be in this pain. I. Therefore, I will kill myself. 10. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was falling. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them here to my Lord. And this part was a lie. He didn't kill Saul. Saul killed himself. We saw that in the last book. So this man must have been the first to, maybe, I would say must have been the first to find the king's body, and that's how he got the crown. But he didn't kill the king. He was trying to impress David. "Look what I did for you, David. Now you can be king. Look what I did, David. I killed the guy that was after your life, Saul." He's expecting a pat on the back. Verse 11, then David took hold of his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. So if this man expected David to jump for joy at the news of Saul's death, then he was shocked to see David fall apart with grief. You know, if something that is bad in the eyes of God happens, godly people are not going to be happy about it. 13. And David said to the young man that told him, "Where are you from?" And he answered, "I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite." David asked where this man is from. You know, if he's from a foreign country, he would not be expected to know about the laws against hurting God's anointed ones, namely his kings, in this case. But he was from Israel. So he should know better. And that's why David asked. And now he knows that this man is accountable. 14. And David said to him, how were you not afraid to stretch forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Why weren't you afraid? The fear of the Lord is a real thing to a person who respects God like David, but this man did not fear God, which resulted in him glorying over something that God hates, and it resulted in him doing something that God hates. See, a Christian will want to do the right thing because they appreciate Christ. But they also know that God is an old-fashioned God who does not care what social services said. He still gives whipping. He still gives spankings. And so people who know that it's smart to do the correct thing. Why? Because they fear God and they know the Lord. Now, this guy obviously didn't. The fool, 15, and David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. That means attack him. And it says, and he smote him that he died. Normally, David was not quick to pull the trigger. But if he knew something was right in God's eyes, he would not hesitate. Not all killing is murder. Not all killing is sin. Murder is always sin. But capital punishment, for example, is not murder. A just war is not murder. Self-defense is not murder. This was capital punishment. 16. And David said to him, your blood be upon your head, for your mouth has testified against you, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. This man has no one to blame but himself for his execution. Someone does a sin, then they are accountable for that sin. They can blame the one who enticed them, but God does not buy it. They can claim to be innocent, but God does not buy it. 17, and David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also, he bid them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jether. 19, the beauty of Israel is slain upon your high places. How are the mighty fallen? Jonathan had a glory, a beauty of spirit that Israel will miss. Beauty is a quality that pleases the senses or the mind. And if someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, they will have a beauty that radiates from within them. It is a beauty that cannot be seen in a mirror, but it is real. Beauty of spirit is a genuine beauty that is recognized by people who love Christ. 20. David says in his dirge, tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. In other words, don't let the enemies of God hear the bad news. That's what he meant when he said, tell it not in Gath. It's not right for God's people, for Christians, to hang their dirty laundry out for the world to see. If you make a mistake, if you commit a sin, keep it to yourself. It is not right to go around telling other people about our sins. I mean, if you have a close friend who you can confide in and who will pray for you, that's one thing. But these evangelical buzz groups where people get together and spill their spiritual and moral guts, have no scriptural support that I can see. Tell it not in Gath.